In fact, I want to begin a series of lessons this morning on facing your giants. And we studied about David, I believe it was on Tuesday night in our vacation Bible school. And so I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. On Sunday nights, I'd like for us to study together, continue studying in Hebrews chapter 11, continue working on our memory work that we were challenged with during VBS, but take a close look at some of the heroes of faith that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So I invite you to participate with us in that as well. Let's set the stage in 1 Samuel chapter 17. There was a valley, the valley of Elah, the valley of blood. It was a site of many battles. And on this occasion, to the left, there is the hill of Soko with the shining steel of the Philistine armies adorning that hill. On the right, there is the hill of Azekah. And this is where the hosts of the Israelite armies, very intimidated, Israelite armies are awaiting a showdown with the Philistine armies. In that valley, there's a stream. And that stream will be significant as we go on further into this beloved story. But enter the challenger. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. We read other passages to see that not only was Goliath a giant, but he was from a family of giants. His height, 6 cubits and a span, a cubit being about 18 inches, generally the distance between your elbow and the tip of your fingers. So 6 cubits would be about 9 feet. And a span, you spread your fingers out, probably an adult, it's about 9 inches from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. 9 foot 9 inches. I know some folks that love basketball. Wouldn't you love to have a basketball player? 9 foot 9 inches. You'd have to watch out jumping to avoid hitting your head on the rim. Can't imagine. But here is Goliath, and he's an extremely strong and powerful man as well. Notice his clothing, his armor, verse 5. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. This coat of mail, characteristic of the Philistines' army, was a heavy canvas-like undergarment that was interlaced with overlapping ringlets of bronze. It would cover from the shoulder down to the knees, and it would protect them from the enemy's weapons. It was a body armor. And we're given the weight as 5,000 shekels. In various sources that I've read, it could have weighed between 125 to 200 pounds. So a heavy coat of mail, a body armor. And with his size, we would probably lean toward the heavier weight here. But a bronze helmet, those bronze leggings to protect his shins. He carried a javelin or a spear slung between his shoulders. He even had a one who would carry his shield out in front of him. And that was probably a shield that was as high as a man. The staff of his spear, verse 7, was like a weaver's beam. His iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. 600 shekels. The spearhead, ranging anywhere from 15 to 25 pounds. I thought about people that I know that throw a shot put, and it would weigh less. That spearhead would weigh more than a shot put. If you've ever held one and thought, imagine how much effort goes into throwing those things. Can you imagine a spear with something even heavier than that on the end? So again, not only is he a giant, but he is extremely strong and powerful. And he comes out and he challenges the Israelites. We read in verse 8 beginning. He stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." This was a tactic commonly used in the Eastern world, a representative battle. Goliath is saying, "Send a man, we'll fight." And the victor will claim victory not only for himself, but for their respective army. And so he issues this challenge. The response of the Israelites, verse 11, Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Enter our hero, David. Verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. Saul sent David to check on his 3 oldest brothers that were fighting with Saul's army. Sent along some food to share with him and with the captain of the army. And as David made his way there, left the sheep with an assistant, and went and found and greeted his brothers, he heard Goliath come out as he had for probably 40 days, issuing that same challenge, probably growing more and more bold every day. And David hears it for the first time. He is angered by this, probably frustrated with the fear that these Israelites are demonstrating as well from this challenge of this Philistine. David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He was told about Saul's incentive plan. The man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. He will give his daughter in marriage to him and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. I'm sure David is shocked that no one has taken advantage of this. He can't understand why hasn't someone gone out and fought Goliath. Well, Saul is told about David's courageous words. He sends for David, and David says to him, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." "I'll go," he says. "I'll go and face this giant." Saul, when David insisted, Saul tried to give him his own armor, but it was too big. And so David went with what he was familiar with. And no doubt in his years as a shepherd had fine-tuned his skills with that sling. And so he took that sling. In verse 40, he took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. That pouch, so I've read, likely what was called a scrip. It was what the shepherd would keep his meal in when he was away from civilization. So David, probably having either eaten his meal or emptied the pouch of its contents, went down to that stream, no doubt in the valley of Elah, and found those 5 smooth stones. Took his sling, and now he's ready to face Goliath. But notice verse 48. I want to underscore one word here. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came near and drew to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Ran. Not crawling. Not trying to, by stealth, approach him and sneak up on him. But ran to meet him. And I see in that the courage that David has mustered on this occasion. You see, because David's eyes weren't on the giant. His eyes were fixed on God. And he believed God would give him the victory. And so he ran to meet Goliath. And you know this Bible account very well. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed, last verse, over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Yes, a beloved Bible story that many of us have studied since we were very, very young. But how does it relate to you and to me today? How does David's successful victory over the giant Goliath, how does that help us today? I want us to study together and face some giants together. Because we do face giants, don't we? We face those challenges in our lives. They're a different kind than what David faced, but we face giants like fear, insecurity, loneliness, failure, worry. We face some tremendous giants that are just as fearful, make us just as fearful, that try our hearts, that can defeat us unless we face them victoriously. But the question is, how can we overcome those giants that want to defeat us? I want to take you back to those five stones and allow those five stones to represent some things that David used to defeat Goliath. But those same five things we can use to defeat the giants that we face. The first stone represents courage. Courage. Again, and David running to meet Goliath. He's ready for that challenge, ready to face him. He was not afraid to face the enemy. 1 Samuel 17:32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." The hearts of all the professional army men of Israel were failing because of this giant. But David, this young shepherd boy, or young man, had that courage to face the giant in his life. And it's going to require courage on our part to face giants. Sometimes we want to ignore them. Sometimes we want to try to escape from them. But our giants, the giants in our lives, will never be defeated unless we have the courage to face them. Secondly, the second stone represents preparation. Preparation. No, David didn't have that armor. No, he hadn't had, most likely, any military training. But it wasn't the first time he'd used that sling. No doubt he had perfected it. And yes, of course, God's hand was in it as well. But he took that weapon with which he was familiar to go and fight that giant in his life. He took his staff. He chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook. And with that sling in his hand, he drew near to the Philistine. As we face giants in our lives, whatever they may be, we need to prepare ourselves. Yes, we need to put our trust in God. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But we need to do what we can to prepare ourselves. Some of those things that we must do to prepare ourselves is to continue to seek to build our faith, build our relationship with God, studying His Word, putting in much prayer time so that we can face our giants. The third stone represents confidence. As a shepherd, David often had to protect the sheep from wild animals, and this gave him the confidence he needed to face the giant. We see that in his words in 1 Samuel 17:37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Saul, he was pretty tall, wasn't he? Stood head and shoulders above his fellow Israelites. It seems that he would be the one that would muster up the courage to go and face this giant. But when David is so insistent, he says, "Well, go right ahead. The Lord be with you." But David was confident. The Lord had been with him and given him victories in the past. He was confident the Lord would help him on this occasion as well. And like David, we can have that confidence that God will help us overcome the problems, the giants in our lives. The fourth stone represents trust. You see, David didn't rely on his own ability. As experienced as he was with that sling, he was going against a giant with a sword, a giant's sword, and a giant's javelin as well, with that spearhead that was so heavy itself. And armed with a sling that weighed just a few ounces, that might carry rocks an inch or an inch and a half in diameter. But he was trusting God to give him the victory. Verse 45, he said to that giant, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." You see, David's trust was in God. And when we face our giants, we need to look at our giant God, who is greater than any problems we might face. Then the fifth stone represents victory. Look at his words, 46 and 47. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David was assured in his own heart of that victory. He knew God would bless him as he faced the giant Goliath. "Then all this assembly shall know," verse 47, "that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And that's why David was able to win that victory with only a stone and a sling. Verse 50, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine, killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." I like what Jim Jordan wrote. "So great a victory was won so simply because God was pleased with David, who was willing to use the talent he had and trust the Lord to do the rest." Yes, you and I, we also face giants. We want to explore some more specific giants that we face, Lord willing, in the weeks to come. But how do we defeat them? Let's remember David and Goliath. Remember those five smooth stones and what they can represent to us. And use those things in facing and defeating our giants. "I can do all things," Paul said, "through Christ who strengthens me." Paul faced many giants as well, of a different type than David. But yet he knew his strength lay in his relationship with Christ and the power that he gave. I don't know exactly what giants you may be facing individually. I know of some that we all face. But I also know that from David, one of the most powerful lessons that we learn is that with God's help, we can defeat those giants if we'll just trust Him and obey Him. Have you trusted, put your trust in God and obeyed the gospel? Are you a child of His? Do you need to respond in obedience to the good news of Jesus Christ? If you believe in Him, if you're willing to turn from sin and repentance, if you will confess His name before men, then you can be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, to become a child of God and have that reservoir of strength to help you face the giants that will arise in your life. Perhaps there are others of us who are Christians that are facing giants. And if we've recognized by failures, perhaps, that the source of our strength is not in ourselves. And perhaps there are some that are at the point that they recognize you recognize you need help. That's one of the blessings of being a part of a church family, is that we can find that help. We can help one another face the giants in our lives. If you need the prayers of the church this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?